When British forces burned China's Summer Palace in 1861, they sent Queen Victoria a stolen Pekingese dog named Ludi, a perfect symbol of Western dominance. Yet just decades earlier, Europeans had desperately sought access to Chinese markets, dismissed as barbarians by a confident empire. This dramatic power reversal frames Ian Morris's central question: why does the West rule today? And more importantly, will it continue to do so? Moving beyond both Western triumphalism and anti-Western sentiment, Morris reveals how geography, not cultural or biological superiority, created today's power dynamics, and how they might soon dramatically shift again. For 90% of human history, no meaningful East-West distinctions existed. Humans evolved in Africa about 100,000 years ago and spread globally with identical capabilities. Around 20,000 years ago, the end of the last ice age, transformed Earth temperatures, rose approximately 5°F within a single human lifespan, creating what Morris calls the Great Chain of Energy. This warming increased plants, animals, and human populations. The primary beneficiaries lived in the lucky latitudes, 20-35°N, where wild cereals evolved large seeds that foragers could harvest efficiently. The first Western societies emerged in the hilly flanks around the Tigris, Euphrates, and Jordan valleys. Women, traditionally plant gatherers, likely pioneered grain cultivation, selecting plants with larger seeds. By 11,000 BCE, people had replanted rye frequently enough to produce bigger seeds, a seemingly small development that became Western civilization's foundation. By 7,000 BCE, agricultural societies in Western Eurasia made it meaningful to distinguish the West from others. Agriculture also developed independently across the lucky latitudes. China developed rice cultivation in the Yangtze Valley between 8,000 to 7,500 BCE and millet in the north by 6,500 BCE. The West now refers to societies descended from the westernmost Eurasian domestication core, while the East refers to those from China's agricultural core. Farming's triumph was inevitable, as agricultural communities outproduced foraging ones. To compare Eastern and Western development across millennia, Morris created a social development index measuring four traits: energy capture, organizational capacity, measured by largest city size, war-making capability, and information technology. The data reveals that Western scores exceeded Eastern ones for over 90% of the time since 14,000 BCE, though Eastern scores definitively surpassed Western ones from 541 to 1773 CE, during China's Golden Ages. The data reveals development thresholds around 43 points on Morris's scale. Both Roman and Song Chinese civilizations reached this level before declining significantly. This ceiling wasn't broken until Western Europe's Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. Vertical patterns show remarkable synchronicity between East and West at certain historical moments, suggesting global factors like climate changes, pandemics, or trade networks affected development regardless of absolute development scores. Throughout history, rising social development creates forces that ultimately undermine it. As societies grow larger and more complex, they generate challenges that can overwhelm them. This paradox of development explains why civilizations repeatedly rose to certain heights only to collapse, especially when the four horsemen of climate change, famine, state failure, and migration, often joined by disease, converge to transform disruptions into catastrophic collapses. The year 541 CE marked a historic reversal when Eastern social development surpassed Western for the first time. By 700 CE, the East's development score was one-third higher than the West's, widening to nearly 40% by 1100 CE. Geographic responses to declining social development explain why the East recovered quickly while the West continued to falter. When the Eastern core fragmented after 300 CE, millions of northerners migrated south, transforming undeveloped lands beyond the Yangtze into a new frontier. These immigrants adapted to a landscape where their traditional wheat and millet struggled, but rice thrived. By the 530s, farmers had knowledge of 37 distinct rice varieties for different conditions. The Sui dynasty's reunification of China connected the strong northern state with the south's economic frontier, spreading prosperity throughout China. The Grand Canal, a 1,500-mile-long waterway, became China's economic artery, enabling massive north-south trade. While Eastern social development rose rapidly after China's reunification in 589, Western development continued falling despite favorable conditions. After 900 CE, Earth's orbital shifts increased atmospheric pressure over Eurasia, raising temperatures 1-2F and reducing rainfall by about 10% between 900-1300. This medieval warm period significantly affected agriculture and settlement patterns. The Western Revival began around 1000 CE with important technological and social innovations. Europe's feudal fragmentation, once a weakness, became an advantage as competing kingdoms sought new ways to generate wealth and power. This competition drove innovations in shipbuilding, navigation, and military technology. The Atlantic Ocean transformed from barrier to highway for exploration and trade. Geography, not culture, determined why Europeans rather than Chinese reached the Americas first. The Atlantic was half the width of the Pacific, making it easier for Portuguese sailors to reach the New World. The Canary Islands, Azores, and Caribbean islands provided crucial stepping stones, while Atlantic winds and currents formed a circular pattern that naturally facilitated sailing routes to and from the Americas. The Western collapse of 1200 to 1000 BCE remains one of history's greatest mysteries. By 1200 BCE, the Western core had expanded significantly, creating an interconnected system where regional disasters compounded problems elsewhere. Trade networks that once spread prosperity now transmitted crisis. Yet larger cores also develop more sophisticated defenses against disruption. Technological innovations, improved agriculture, and stronger political institutions. Social development creates a race between increasingly threatening disruptions and more sophisticated responses. This pattern continued throughout Western history. Rome's fall demonstrated how interconnected systems could collapse, while the eventual recovery showed the resilience of developed societies. As Western Europe rebuilt after the medieval period, it developed institutions and technologies that would eventually break through previous developmental ceilings during the Industrial Revolution. Morris predicts that if current trends continue, the East will regain global leadership by 2103. By then, the development index could exceed 5,000 points, a dramatic acceleration given it took 14,000 years to reach 900 points by 2000 CE. This future might include 140 million person cities, daily energy consumption of 1.3 million kilocalories per person, revolutionary war technologies, and direct neural connections to global computing networks. These projections suggest we're approaching Kurzweil's singularity, when technological change accelerates so rapidly that humanity transcends its biological limitations. However, this future faces serious threats of our own making. Pandemic disease, climate change, and nuclear proliferation all threaten catastrophic collapse. The 21st century has become a race between singularity and nightfall with no middle ground. Unlike previous civilizations that hit developmental ceilings they couldn't understand, we possess the knowledge to potentially avoid catastrophe. Through archaeology, media, and historical understanding, we might get the thought we need to postpone nightfall long enough to reach the singularity. As East-West distinctions fade into meaninglessness, the question shifts from why the West rules to whether humanity itself will continue to rule or even survive. Our shared future depends not on geographic advantages, but on how we collectively navigate unprecedented challenges that transcend all borders.